If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 10, beginning in verse 25 here in a moment. So when Brother John asked me if I could come and speak, with D-Now weekend upon us, I asked if I am happy to do it as long as I can take a sermon that I have given on a previous Wednesday night and share it. And because the Lord often will do this when I'm sharing with our students, there's often a sermon that he'll just say, hey, kind of file that one away for a moment when it might be needed for big church. And this is one that I think definitely ties to this weekend, and I know that it is something that each of us need to have a handle on, maybe even an encouragement in. On Wednesday nights with our students, we've been going over a series on Wednesdays called Wrestling with God, talking about questions that we maybe are afraid to express as a doubt that we have, or I'm embarrassed to kind of bring this to light. And so we've been tackling some of those questions. And so this may be a question that you have had and have been maybe afraid to express, or it's really caused you to wrestle, and that is this question: does God really speak to people today? Can I hear from God? Some of you have heard people say things like, man, the Lord just gave me this when I was in a difficult time. Or, man, I was reading from Scripture the other day and the Lord just really spoke. Man, in the service, I just felt God speaking to me. And you have thought to yourself, how? How is he doing that? I don't know that I've experienced that. How do I know that he's speaking to me? And so that's really what I want us to talk about for a few moments this morning. So look with me, if you found your place, in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus is speaking. He's responding to a question the Jews have posed to him. How long are you going to keep us in suspense? This is back in verse 24. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Then in verse 25, he answers, I did tell you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. There's some important truth that I think we can take from this passage. Truth one would be this: knowing God's voice is not found in a formula, but in a relationship with him. See, there is not a formula that you just have to kind of plug in. Hey, if I do this, if I kneel down here, if I fold my hands just correctly, then I will hear from God. You can't even conjure a certain number of words in the right order to hear from God. See, hearing from God comes from a relationship with him. See, Jesus said to these men who are asking, why won't you just tell us if you're the Messiah? And he says, I have, and you don't believe because you're not my sheep. You're not in relationship with me. See, my sheep know my voice. And see, if you are struggling to hear from God, perhaps you are not in a relationship with him. Perhaps, like the theme of this weekend, restoration or being restored, maybe you've had a relationship, but you have drifted. And as Hannah in the video said, there's been so many distractions that have wedged between you and the Lord that you're not hearing from him because the relationship is not healthy. See, Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer, but it's not a formula for hearing. It is built on relationship. See, I don't know about you, but there are times when I will have people, when I moved here, for instance, one of the most dangerous places for me to go, I'm getting better at it and I'm less nervous, but is Walmart. Okay? One of the reasons it makes me nervous moving to a new place and going to Walmart is because you've seen my picture, maybe I've spoken, but I have not yet had the chance to get to know all of you. And so when I'm at Walmart, I can see the face of recognition coming down the aisle, and I'm thinking to myself, dear Lord, divinely plant their name in my head, right? Because I don't know you yet. But those of you that I have gotten to know, when I see you come around the corner at Walmart, there is recognition in my face, and there is a connection, and we will stop and talk. Oh, you're getting Cheerios. Yeah, we love Cheerios. You know, well, man, y'all must be doing well. We're only the name brand bag kind. Yeah, I mean, you know, you have those conversations, right? And so it is all about our relationship is how well and how that conversation goes, doesn't it? In the same way, when we are in relationship with God, there's a connection. We hear from Him. Our face lights up when we hear from Him, when we recognize His work in our life, because it is the face of our Father, and we look forward to hearing from Him. See, it's not about a formula, it's about a relationship. But as we get ready to move further in this sermon, I do want you to beware. Hearing from God always leads to a choice. You may be saying, I am desperate, I am craving to hear from God. Maybe even just this theme, I'm craving to hear from Him to restore me. But I want you to beware. If you hear from Him, it will lead to a choice every time. And that choice is to obey or not to obey. See, that is the only two choices. When God speaks, it demands our response to either obedience or disobedience. To delay obedience is disobedience. See, some of us have heard from God in a service or in a quiet time or through someone, and we have said, I know that was Him, and I will do it next week. That is a choice for disobedience. See, God demands a choice for obedience now, every time He speaks. See, when I was a child, and my mother would call to me and say, Todd, would you please take out the trash? I have heard her. And now I have a choice to either get up and go take out the trash or to pretend that I did not hear her and think, I'm going to keep playing this video game and maybe it will just go away. I don't know that there is a mom ever who that just goes away. The voice just gets louder, a little more sterner. My middle name might get thrown in there to accentuate the urgency of the need, but I have a choice. Obedience or disobedience. And when God speaks, it always leads to a choice. Last night during our worship service here, our speaker, Gary, spoke to this. And it was interesting. He was talking about Jacob wrestling with God. And he said, when God is calling us to obey, the biggest battle in the room is really us wrestling with God of whether we're going to obey or not. And for some of you this morning, as we walk through how does God speak, He's going to speak to you. And my encouragement would be just to say yes. So let's look. The second truth, the Holy Spirit will use four primary ways to speak to us. Number one, He will speak to us through His Word, through the Bible, through Scripture. God has well thought out what He wants to say. He has preserved it over time for us accurately so that we may know and hear from Him. See, I want you to understand, you cannot know what He is saying today unless you know what He has already said. I want to say that again. You cannot know what he is saying today unless you know what he has already said in his word. So many times we are saying, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Lord, I just have this situation. I don't know what to do. I want to hear from you. And God is saying, just like Jesus said to these Pharisees asking him, how long are you the Messiah or not? He says, I've already told you, and yet you do not believe. We're saying, God, speak into my situation. He said, I have. You can't know what I'm saying unless you know what I've already said. There's a reason that our pastor talks about and encourages faithful daily Bible reading. Because you can't know what he's wanting you to do unless you know what he said to do. See, there are principles in his word that will help us with every situation we will come across. Now, it may not be that your specific situation will be spelled out exactly. It may be like, should I take this job? And you're like, well, I've never read in Leviticus before, so maybe it says Todd Core should, you know, I just need to get in. It's not going to be that, but you're going to find the principles, the heart of God. And when you're in his word, he will speak to you through his word. Some of you have experienced this. As an example, when I was in high school, I had a job at a little place called Pet Supplies Plus. There's a lot of stories there I wish I could share about the time I got bit by a dog, the day that the cops had to come for a drug bust. Anyways, I don't have time. But what I want to share is this. Is that when I signed up for that job, I told them I cannot work Wednesdays and I cannot work Sundays. That was what my parents said. You will not accept a job where it will take you away from your youth group. And I said, okay. So I told them. I worked there for about a year and a half. We came upon a spring break and my manager came to me having never scheduled me on a Wednesday or a Sunday. And he said, I need you to work this Sunday. I'm sorry. Everybody else is going to be gone. I mean, I've got no one else. And this was at the beginning of the week. And I remember going home and just really stressing about this, like knowing the conviction of keeping the Sabbath holy that my family and I had set up. I mean, because for me, I'm not a breadwinner. I'm just a high school kid. So, I mean, I'm not a nurse where I'm working 7 days on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I'm just saying, like, as a high school kid, I could have that standard really easy. And so I'm wondering, am I going to need to quit my job or make a stand here? Like, what do I need to do? And I was doing my daily devotion. And it really was from the book of Leviticus. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, where I need some real help here, God, and I'm in Leviticus. And you know what passage it was? When your neighbor's ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you can help them get it out. And all of a sudden, that had nothing to do with Pet Supplies Plus, but it had everything to do with God speaking to that passage to say, your boss's ox fell in the ditch. And so I went back to him as like a 16, 17-year-old, and I said, look, I was reading in the scriptures this passage, and your ox is in the ditch. And I'm going to help you this one time, but I would ask that you would do a job of not giving everybody else off and putting this on me, or I will walk away. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm about to get fired. But he respected it. You see, God speaks when we engage his word. And every day we neglect it, we miss him giving us instruction that he is needing us to know for that day, that week, that season. The second way that God speaks is through prayer. Through prayer. See, we often use prayer as our wish list. It's like, God, we've got this. Lord, this is going on in our life. Father, would you please meet this need? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's an important part of prayer. But see, prayer is a dialogue. See, dialogue is a two way street. When we pray, we need to make room to hear from the other person in the conversation. When we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? You don't end the prayer right there. You leave room to hear from him. See, if my relationship with my wife was such that all of our interactions was me just asking her for something and never listening to her, that's not a healthy relationship. If I walk in and say, Jennifer, I need food. Jennifer, I'm on the couch. Could you please bring me the remote? Jennifer, I need my laundry done. And she's like, hey, can I tell you about my dad? I'm like, oh, real quick, can you go and do this? Can you go to the groceries? One is the locks are going to be changed one day when I come home. And there's going to be a lot of issues there, right? Like, I'm going to start noticing that the food is not coming. The remote has not made it to the couch. The laundry is not being done because dialogue is a two-way street. And God wants to speak to you and to me through prayer. Let me give you an example again. When we first moved here, again, we have a house in Mississippi. And we prayed, God, sell this house. And we rolled into January last year, and the church was doing the fast, the Daniel fast. And I knew immediately this Daniel fast was going to be about, Lord, we need to know what to do with this house. And so we began praying and fasting and praying and fasting. Sell this house and fasting. Please, Lord, and fasting. And fasting and praying and just, man. And I felt God through prayer saying to me, why don't you rent the house? And I was like, no, Lord, I know you are a God of big things. You can sell this house. What about rent? Lord, you know I know nothing about that. I can't even swing a hammer, Father. What am I going to do? Rent? Sell it. What about renting? And the Lord was speaking to me through prayer, and I was talking to my wife, and she's like, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. We finally relented. And would you know that the moment that we relented and said yes after he spoke to us through prayer, in the same month, it was lined up that a house here, we could move out of the apartment and rent, and someone wanted to rent our home in Mississippi for a year. See, God spoke to us through prayer, and yet, because it was out of my comfort zone and something I really didn't want to deal with at the time, I was being disobedient until I said yes. And he said, now we're dialoguing again. Let me work this out for you. See, he wants to speak to you and to me through prayer, but it can't be just a wish list. We must hear from him as well. Thirdly, he will speak to us through circumstances. Now, I do want to say this. Every one of these that comes after number one, Scripture, must be seen through the lens of Scripture. He will not reveal something to me in prayer that contradicts Scripture. He will not reveal to me something in circumstances that contradicts Scripture. It is always through Scripture. But he will use circumstances to speak and to affirm and to confirm what's going on in our life. But here's something we need to know. We can't just use circumstances to try to figure it out. We only will know the truth of our circumstances when we hear from our Father. He gets the final word on our circumstances. Let me give you another example. When I was about maybe third or fourth grade, my parents' Sunday school class decided that they were going to go have a fellowship. They were going to go out to eat, somebody's house, hang out. And so all the kids from that class were going to come to my house and hang out. And they had a teenager come. It was going to kind of watch all of us. And one of the kids who was going to be coming over, one of my friends, was that kid that every year when kids promote in Sunday school, that the teachers were like, I think it's time to retire because he's coming. You know those kids? Maybe they were your kids, and that's why you don't know. But there are those kids, right? And so one of those kids was Corey. And Corey came over, and immediately, I mean, as soon as the parents leave, Corey has all of us kids captivated with stories about how he has heard of people coming and knocking on windows and seeking to snatch kids. And it's a kind of like a night like tonight. All of a sudden, all the kids are in a frenzy. And then, of course, we begin to hear noises. And we think, oh my goodness, someone's in. I mean, we hear like these loud noises of like people running in the house. And so all of us, including the babysitter teenager, is in the frenzy. We go to my sister's bedroom. We shut the door. We take her little tea set table and wedge it up under the handle of the door because we're hearing all this noise and we know there is someone in here. Our circumstances are telling us we're about to be abducted. What do we do? Now, many of you remember that this is before the day of cell phones, and so there was no way to get in touch with mom or dad. All we had was the landline. We had no idea. We couldn't even look up on Google the restaurant and the phone number. The yellow pages are in the kitchen, and we're barricaded in my sister's room, miles away. So then Corey is looking under the door. And you know how if you look under a door, it kind of has that shadowy effect? And he's like, I see their feet. Yeah, you know, he'd hear this noise. I see their feet. Then, this is true, the babysitter is under the covers saying his name, Corey, Corey. But we're all in a panic, and he pops up. He's like, I see their feet, and they're saying my name. And we're like, oh, my goodness. And so we get the phone, 911. And we call. Our parents are all gone. Someone's in the house. We're barricaded in a room. And they're like, stay on the line. I'm like, yes, please come, hurry. We hear the sirens pulling in. And they're like, the police are looking around the perimeter. We don't see a point of entry. And I said, I know, we hear them. They're inside. And they said, can someone get to the front door and let us in? That is the day I became a man. I was like, I can do this. And so literally, my other friends, like, they've got the table. It's like, I'm going to pull this table out, open it. I'm like, I got this. I got this. So they yank the table. The door flings open. I run down the hallway. I grab the banister, swing down to the lower level, lock, 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 open. The police, boom, comes in, drawn, going through all my parents' closets. At this moment, all of our parents pull up. Back from their social. They do not understand why they cannot get back in because the police have set up a perimeter. The police go through. They can't find anyone. They let all of our parents in. We heard noises. And my dad looks at me and says, son, you know what you were hearing. You know what it was. Here, I want to show you a picture of the real culprit. Do we have that picture? My dad said, you know we have squirrels in the attic. All that noise you've been hearing, son, is the squirrels in the attic. See, I thought I knew the truth of my circumstances, but I did not know the final word until I heard from my father. See, many of us think we know the truth of what our circumstances are telling us, but you really don't know until you've heard the final word from your father. See, we walk through difficulties, and we don't know what he is at work doing. We have trials. And we go, God, I don't understand these circumstances. And he wants to speak into your life and say, give it time. I will reveal enough for you to know the final word on your circumstances. Number four, God will speak to us through his church. Another reason that our pastor and our church leadership talk about the importance of coming to the hill every 7 days for worship is because you need to hear from other believers, because God wants to use them to affirm, confirm, and speak to you on His behalf. God has designated the church as His mouthpiece in our culture. He has anointed men like our pastor to come and to speak truth. Some of you are Bible study leaders and life group leaders. He has given you appointment and spiritual gift in our church and in our community to be His mouthpiece as we study His Word. You may be a life group attender. You are vital, because if you are reading His Word and understanding His principles and in prayer, hearing from Him and hearing the final word from your Father on circumstances, then when you come to life group and somebody else is struggling, now you are in a place where you can help them understand what God is saying to them. See, we need each other. And when we neglect to be with one another, we neglect to hear one of the avenues God has for speaking to us. I was speaking on a topic similar to this several weeks ago when I was in Mississippi for a Disciple Now that a friend of mine had asked me to speak. And I was sharing about the importance of the church and being in worship. And she came up to me and said this. She said, "God spoke to me today through the church, because I've been wrestling with whether I should leave my stay-at-home, you know, position with my kids who are still young for a job opportunity that came up." And for her, she felt like she had been kind of pushing forward with it, even though in her prayer life and in the Bible, in her reading, that she felt like that is going to come, but not now. Your kids still need you right now, for her and her family situation. And she said, "Today, the third thing that helped nail that decision for me was being at church." See, many of us have had the experience where things that we've been going through during the week, we come here and we hear from the Word or from worship or from our life group, and we go, "Have y'all been reading my email? Have y'all been Facebook stalking me? Because that is exactly what I needed to hear." See, God wants to use His church to speak to you and to me. I'm going to ask someone to come and play some music as we get ready to close, but I want to end with this, just kind of tying all of this together. I have two girls, Zoe and Michaela, and I have a picture of them. Some of you have not had the chance to meet them, and so that's going to come up here in a moment. This is from my sister's wedding, and being in ministry, sometimes you don't get to be near family. And so my parents are in Birmingham, primarily is where they're based out of, and even when we were in Mississippi, we were several hours away. And so my dad wanted to have connection with his grandchildren, and they really do a great job with that. And so for a couple of Christmases, they got these little books. They're probably other places, but they got them at Hallmark. And you can kind of see one here. It's a book that you can read. Like, granddad can read it. It will record it. And when they open the page, his voice will read the story to them. And this one, "God Loves You and I Do Too," is one that my dad gave to my youngest daughter, Michaela. And what is interesting is Michaela, it is not uncommon for us to find her sitting in her room just listening to her granddaddy read her the story. And in there, he ad-libs a little bit, because you don't have to stay on script. And so he calls her his little Mac. Michaela is her name, so he says, "And you're my little Mac." And if you were to ask Michaela, "What is your nickname?" she would say, "My nickname," and so you just have to know that's what that means, "and is little Mac." How does she know that? Because she has spent time with a book hearing her granddaddy speak over her, this is who you are to me. God loves you, and I do too. What I want you to understand is this. When we spend time with the Word, in prayer, hearing from circumstance, and through the church, we know what He thinks of us. We don't have to question. I know He cares for me. I know His name for me. I know His desire to have connection with me. I know my purpose. Why? Because He speaks to me. As the music begins to play, this is how I'd like to do our time of response. Really, I just want you to do this. I feel confident that God has spoken in this place. Just like in John chapter 10, He has said, I have spoken. My sheep hear my voice. Maybe today you go, I don't know that I'm His sheep. Jesus said, if you are my sheep, the Father has put you in my hand and you will never be snatched out. Maybe today that is your decision, and there's a connect card in the seat. If you'd like to talk to someone, you can grab one of us after the service. We would love to talk with you about what it means to be in His family, to know that you can hear His voice. But for some of us, maybe the challenge has been, you know what? I don't know what He's saying now because I don't know what He said. And you want to make a commitment to do that. Maybe you've said, my prayer life is nothing but a wish list. It's not a two-way street. And I want to begin to make room to hear from Him. Some of you are going through a difficult time and you're saying, I thought I knew what the circumstances meant, but I need to hear from Him, the final word. And you need to maybe engage with some other people. Would you help pray for me that I will hear from Him about my circumstances? Number four, it might be that you say, you know what? My commitment to being in small group or regularly attending worship has kind of slid. There's been distractions that have wedged between my relationship and the Lord, and I'm making a commitment that I want to hear from Him. And so therefore, I'm going to be part of His people. Because not only do I need them, but I have things that they may need from me that I'm not giving them if I'm not there. So I would just ask you in this time, I'm going to pray. And I just would like to do it this way, just a little bit different. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.